our invitation is, do I really believe God, or do I believe it just that God is? Am I really putting my faith in God and the things He expects of me? Or do I just accept, yes, there's a God in heaven. I know that He's there. I know He's a creator. I know that He makes the world to function. I know everything goes on in life because of His care. I know that I live the life that I live because of Him. When I go to God in prayer each day, I thank Him because even the smallest thing, the very breath that I breathe, the very heartbeat that I have, is dependent upon Him. If He takes away the heartbeat, if He takes away the air, the function for me to naturally breathe in the air and to take the oxygen and live from that, if that is taken away from Him, I'm gone. I no longer exist in this world, and you won't either. And for us to just kind of throw things off and say, yes, there's a God, and I truly convict our hearts, we need to follow Him. We're making a grave and terrible error. And we need to understand this, that we need to not just believe God is, but believe God. And so I want us to look at some examples as we go through the invitation. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 15, it says, and Jehovah God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work and to keep it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, you may eat freely of every tree in the garden, but you shall not eat of the tree of knowledge of the good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So stopping at this point might ask the question, did Adam and Eve know God? Did they know that there was a God? God, the creator that made them, put them in the garden. He gave the instruction to them. And they knew God was there because the scriptures clearly tell us that day by day they talked with God. Day by day they spoke with God. God would come in the cool of the day and speak to Adam and Eve. Where Adam and Eve would say, no, there's no God. I don't believe there is a God. It would have been a foolish statement. Because God was the one that made them. God was the one that made the garden for them to live in. God was the one that allowed them to have food to eat. And so we can see clearly from this text, God was. And so He put them in there for the food to eat. But I want to ask the question, did they believe God or believe that God is? And the reason I ask that is, it says, because of Genesis 3 and verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasing to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And so the question is, did they believe that God is, or did they actually believe God? When God said, I'm going to let you eat of every fruit in the garden except for this one tree, and the day that you eat of this tree, you'll surely die. And then they turn right around, and because the tempter comes along and says, well, you know, you'll be as smart as God, did that really give them an excuse to say, well, okay, we'll just go ahead and eat the fruit, I'll be as smart as God. And maybe in the back of their mind, they may have thought, well, you know, if because we have this relationship with God, maybe God will be merciful. We have a one-on-one relationship with Him. So God will probably be merciful, and maybe He'll extend His mercy, and so therefore we can be as smart as Him, and therefore there won't be any really serious repercussions out of this. And so they knew who God, they knew there was a God, yet they fully went against the command that God had given them. God was true to exist as far as they were concerned, but as far as carrying out His commandments, they failed in that particular area of their life. The next example I want to look at is Cain. But he did not have respect, this is a different translation you might normally read, this is, but he did not have respect for Cain's offering. And Cain glowed with anger, and his face fell. And Jehovah said to Cain, why have you angrily glowed? And why did your face fall? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin crouches at the door, and its desire is for you, and you shall rule over it. Did Cain know there was a God? Could he say, oh no, I don't believe there's a God in heaven? Well, that would be a false presumption for us to make, because we see clearly right here God speaking again directly with Cain. His sacrifice had not been acceptable. His brother Abel's was. Cain's was not acceptable. And so God says, why do you have this expression on your face? Why do you have this attitude? Why are you all upset and angry and mad when I've told you what I wanted? You didn't give me what I wanted in the sacrifice. And so because of that, you know, I wasn't pleased with you. And now you have an option. He says, you can go ahead and get your life right with me. You can go ahead if you want to repent, if you want to use that term, and get your life right and bring the sacrifice that I've asked you to give. Then you can do that. He said, everything's going to be well if you'll do that. But then God also sees the other side of man, knowing what Cain was capable of doing and knowing how that we are as human beings. He says, but sin is crouching at your door and its desire. God make his will evident to them? Well, yes. We know that he did. First of all, we find that he gives them the command, and then as the serpent begins to tempt Eve, what does she say? What does God say about the serpent? Said that she said, oh, well, no, we can't do that. God says the day that we eat of this fruit, we're going to die. She knew exactly what the consequence was going to be. And the devil knew what the consequence was going to be. But yet he changed the attitude and the thought process, and through that change of thought process, then what God had to say kind of took a back burner over here. And she went ahead and did what she wanted to do because the food looked good. And after all, I can be as smart as God. And Adam partook of it too. And so they knew the will of God. It was evident that they just didn't fulfill it. Why did they violate his law? Well, again, the idea of pride. I can be as smart as God. I can know right and wrong. I don't have to be dumb anymore. That's what the devil is basically saying. You're not as smart as God. You get a greater level of knowledge here if you would just go ahead and do this. And so they violate the law because of human pride rather than humility, having humility and the idea of serving God as they should have. What were the consequences of their sin? We know the account. We know that God came into the garden. First of all, he knows that they've sinned. They've tried to hide themselves from it. And he pronounces the punishment upon the serpent, the punishment upon the woman through the pain in childbirth, the punishment upon the man, because when you get ready to till the earth or bring forth its fruit, it's not going to be like it used to be. You're going to have thorns and thistles and weeds, and by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to work. He drives them from the garden where they can't get to the tree of life to live forever. He puts an angel with a flaming sword there to keep them from ever coming back to the garden, getting to that tree. They lost paradise, didn't they? Just by this one act of not believing God and fulfilling his will, they lost paradise. And we've talked about in the Bible how the paradise is lost at the beginning, and the very end of the book of Revelation, paradise is regained. And all in between that is added that God, through his mercy, allows us, if we serve him, to regain paradise again. Some other questions I'd like for us to consider. Why was Cain's offering not accepted? Well, we find over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying his gifts, and by being dead yet speaks. And so again, by faith of what God told Abel to do, he gave a better sacrifice. Whereas Cain decided to do whatever he wanted to do. And again, we ask the question, did God allow Cain a second chance? But sure he did. Remember, we just read the verse a minute ago. He said, if you'll change your attitude, if you get this anger look off your face, if you get yourself and heart right, if you go ahead and give the sacrifice that I've asked you to give, everything will be well. And so he gave Cain a second chance. What about you and me? How many chances has God given me? I hate to think how many chances God has given me. Day by day, God gives me chance after chance after chance. And what am I doing with it? Do I believe God, or do I just believe that God is? And that's the summation when we're talking about this thing. What do I really believe? Grounded in how strong is my faith, do I really take advantage of all the chances that God gives me day by day to try to make myself a better person? What choice did Cain make? We know what each choice he made. Through his own pride, he goes out and kills his brother and thinks he can cover up and let it go, and that's going to take care of the situation. We ask the question, what was the result of his choice? And in Genesis 4, verse 12, God says, when you till the ground, it will not give the strength to you, and you'll be a vagabond, bond, and fugitive upon the earth. Cain, you're going to be on the run the rest of your life. If you just listen and did what I told you to do, if you just given the sacrifice that I asked you to do, if you had taken advantage of the second chance I was giving you, you could have had a good relationship with me. Now look what you've done. I don't have any choice in the matter. God says you violated my law, you sinned against me, and so because of your sin, you're going to be on the run, and the ground will not bring forth produce the strength that it should. So now I'd like to conclude this end. Any questions to ask us? Has God provided his will for us? Has God told us what he wants us to do? You know, that's the great thing about the whole thing of God's Word, the Bible. From the very beginning of Genesis until the very end, God has always given man the plan. He's always given us what he wants us to do. He always gives us hope. He says, if you make a mistake,